You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
Never filtered, always fun.
You got to see a Beatle live.
Yeah.
Do you know how much greater that is than Lady Gaga?
Yeah, but I would have been rather one of the guys on the ground with the glow sticks. And
so you, let me get this straight. You'd rather poker face than Let It Be.
100%.
And it's such a gross statement.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Apparently, we have a special guest with us today.
Yeah, when does this come to an end? Like, Jonas is in here more than Noodles now. So,
I think the Fergler had a brain fart and forgot his name.
I think that's exactly what happened.
We'll have to talk to him. Ferg, is that what happened? You forgot the guy's name?
No, what actually happened was I asked Brian out in the lobby who was coming in today because I knew that Jamie was ill, but I didn't change my script. And then I looked at the script and I looked up and I figured, that's not Noodles. And then I knew it was Jonas, but for a split second, I froze.
That's a meltdown, Fergie.
That's a meltdown.
That's all right, buddy.
Bill Belichick-like meltdown today.
That's right, man. It happens. And, hey, listen, you put it on a platter for Jonas. How do you feel about that? Would you rather just be one of the guys, or do you like being a special guest?
That's a great question. I think I'll be a special guest. Like, you know when in sitcoms or stupid shows or anything where there's like a guest starring or like a cameo appearance, and some people are just special guests for every show? I'll take that. What do you think?
I don't know, man.
Just call me special guest every time.
Little Jonas is fine.
I think Jonas Seeger from the Canadian Press, friend of the show.
That works, too.
Who joins us quite often.
Sure.
And you're very nice to take time out of your busy schedule.
What are you talking about? The guy gets paid. It's a paid gig.
Yeah, no, I know that, but he could turn it down if he wanted to.
Why would he? Man likes money.
Do you like the platform? Do you like hanging out, or do you like the money?
I think all of the above are good. If I didn't like you guys, I don't think I'd come.
All right, but if there was a poll question and you had to give one answer, what is the primary reason you come up here?
So what are the choices?
And hang out with us?
Money, camaraderie, or exposure? What are you clicking
but they're,
off?
They're all really close. Like, it might be 33, 33, 33.
Not possible, Jonas. You don't get three votes, dude. You can't walk into the ballot box and say, I'll vote for everybody. You got to pick one.
You can't pick door number 1, 2, and 3 with Bobby Barker. You got to pick one.
I'll give it to you guys. Because I'm
That's
serious.
Such a lie.
If I hated you, I wouldn't come.
That's such a lie, Jonas. I agree. We're all actually friends. We goof around a lot on the show.
Right.
I don't think friendship is number one. It
but
may be
question,
number two.
Well, the question is, would I do it for free? And I don't think so.
I don't think you would, exactly. So I think that might be the answer in the end. But who's kidding who? I mean, no one's going to do anything for free. Like, if the O-Dog's check stopped coming in, you think he's showing up every day? Not a chance.
A day late, I'm out. I'm done.
Would you protest? Like, if let's say there was a malfunction. Somehow, in the accounting department, there was a virus with the system that they used. And for whatever reason, that second Friday, you got an email saying, Jeff, the money won't be there. We're going to get to you ASAP. On Monday, it's still not in your account. Would you show up on Monday?
No. I would say I'm not stepping foot back in the building until it's in my account.
I don't believe that.
Well, believe it.
I think you'd show up. I think you'd be a company guy. I think you'd be a man of the people. I don't think you'd notice that it didn't show up on the previous Friday. And I don't think you'd see the email. You don't ever see company email.
See, when I do like appearances or anything, like for whatever, I'm like, I want the check when I leave to go out the door. Like when my obligation is done, I want it in my hands before I get in my car. Because I don't want to have to sit and if something goes wrong.
Have you heard of these KHL players that haven't been getting paid?
That's been an ongoing thing for years.
What are they supposed to do? That's
getting
the thing.
Paid with bags of money dropped in the trunk of your car. Noodles has talked about it numerous times.
But if you're a hockey player, what are you really supposed to do? You can't sue the KHL. The courts system over there isn't going to listen to a guy who's from Red Deer, Alberta. It's not getting to the Russian Supreme Court.
It all depends on how much leverage you have. If it's Datsyuk or Kovalchuk.
Yeah, but what if it's just Joe Canadian?
then he's probably got an issue on his hands.
And it's not like he can just leave because they're not going to pay. You know what I mean?
Well, you can leave, but you're definitely not getting paid if you leave. Like, that's the conundrum. Do I try to push through here, continue to play, take them at their word that the rubles are going to show up at some point, or do I just get on a bird and fly home, but then I know that cash is gone for life? That's the grind of going overseas, man. You play in the KHL, you never know what you're going to walk into. Luckily, that doesn't happen in the NHL. Although there were a couple defensemen for the Maple Leafs last night that maybe should have had their pay withheld.
Dog park defense is back in full effect.
Wasn't that awful last night?
Stand around, let your dog off its leash, and let it run around in circles around you. And just put the tripod up.
They have a tendency to go into fire drill mode, and you know the opponent is going to score. I've never experienced anything like this. Even in the Carlisle years, I don't recall it to this extent, where... Like last night, Nylander scores. 2 minutes left in the game. I didn't for a second think they were going to hold on to that lead. Not for a second. I think 38 seconds later, it's a tap-in in the crease. Not, you know, tic-tac-toe, beautiful goal, shot from the point, unlucky bounce. From their crease, it gets tapped in. And what I've also noticed is when it comes to Freddie Anderson, When the fire drill begins, he cannot keep his control either. When they start to panic, the way that they panicked last night, the way that they've been panicking since the All-Star break, he panics too. He picks up on their energy, the mood, the breakdowns. Like, that's when you look at Carey Price, because every team has breakdowns.
He's the best one for that.
He doesn't.
So cool.
He doesn't react.
Yeah.
Like, it's a 5-on-3. He's not flopping around. He's not trying to make miracle stops. He is the exact same regardless of the situation. And what you'll notice with Freddie Anderson is when this team starts to scramble and the dog park defense shows up, the dog park goaltending shows up too. Because the defense was terrible, but Freddie could have had a couple of those last night.
But you look at the goals the last two games, and they're all, like, the same. It's just, like, rebounds around the net.
But he's given up big rebounds. Like, Strome goal, that's a huge rebound.
Yeah.
And then I didn't think he reacted well to the rebound.
Did you see his quotes after the game, too?
He's talking about the defense.
Yeah.
Not happy with the way they're playing.
No.
And he's got to be careful.
I know.
Freddie Anderson isn't Patrick Waugh. He doesn't have five rings.
Especially, like, you said it best. It's uncanny. They both go hand in hand. He's junk and their defense is junk, but when you're not standing on your head, you can't call guys out. That's the beginning of problems.
Right.
Because the guys would get back on the bus and say, did you hear what the hell the goaltender said? What's he talking about? Why doesn't he stop a puck once in a while?
Well, the forwards will say, last time I checked, 5 goals, supplying that for a goaltender should be pretty good in 2017.
Trust me, the forwards really separate themselves. We're like, okay, gentlemen, we're doing our thing up here.
Right.
What are you guys up to?
And that's the thing. They've scored a lot. They scored 11 goals the past two games.
Oh.
And they
barely got
3 points.
Yeah.
Barely got 3 points. Like everyone's talking about what happened in Dallas and in St. Louis, and they gave up, 12 goals the first two games, then they gave up 5 in Boston, and then 6 last night. They've given up 23 goals in 4 games. That is absolutely atrocious. But they've scored 20. So,
yeah, but you can't give up 6.
I understand that, but my point is the offense is supplying this team with enough to be picking up a lot of points.
But we didn't think that offense was going to be a problem. We thought this exactly was going to be an issue, didn't we? Like, we thought at some point Frederick Anderson would come back to earth. He has. I think he's got an .888 save percentage since the start of January. That's not good. And defensively, we wondered how long you can keep giving up a lot of chances, a lot of shots, and win.
But again, I get the impression post All-Star break, it has taken a bigger dip.
It's worse.
Their defensive play has taken a bigger dip, and his erratic play in the crease has taken a serious dip. Like, that's what happened. Like, there was the first month of the season, the defensive play was terrible for this team, and Freddie Anderson was awful. And that's why they were blowing leads. They're still scoring a ton of goals, but blowing leads, and they did not have the appropriate amount of points based on the way the offense was playing or the way the forwards were supplying the offense. But then they seemed to figure it out. There's about a 25-game stretch there where they figured it out. When they were winning games on the road, they were winning a lot of games, only giving up a couple of goals.
Yeah, And not giving up a lot of chances.
And not giving up a ton of chances.
But some, yeah, I know what you're saying.
And now it's gone south again.
Let me ask you this. How many really good defensemen do they have?
Well, what's your definition of really good defensemen?
I don't know. What do you think? Like,
I think they have three. I think Gardner, Riley, Zaitsev are...
Top end? Or just good?
Are legitimate top four defensemen in the league. I don't think any of them are number ones. Like, high-end Norris caliber. But I think they're all top four guys.
I think Riley's really good. Zaitsev and Gardner are good. So, basically, you're looking at one.
Yeah. How good is he, too?
Who?
Riley.
Well, he's not exactly playing awesome right now.
He's clearly hurt.
That we know the rule. Jersey goes on, there's no injury.
Okay.
That's just a hard fact. It's not maybe, yeah, it's kind of hurting. It's a pain. Jersey goes on, it's...
We evaluate you based on that. But how good...
And as being 100%.
But let me ask you this. How good do you think he can be? Like, I sometimes have to remind myself, I think he's 23. I think he just turned 23, or maybe he's still 22. How good can he be? Like, can he be your number one guy on a cup team?
I don't know. I had big-time expectations for him. I thought he was going to be kind of a Duncan Keith.
Yeah.
Where it was just all over the ice and running the power play. And, I mean, you kind of... Now my assessment is, like, maybe he's just going to be a very, very good kind of two-way defenseman. Like, play against the other team's top line, contribute the offense. But is he going to be Duncan Keith? At this particular point in my judgment of him, I don't know if he is.
I don't see that happening. I don't think he's strong enough defensively. Hmm. And offensively, I think he has the abilities to be a guy who could put up a lot of points. But he hasn't hit that ceiling yet.
No.
Right? He's not a guy that screams 65 points from the back end. Now, that's very rare. There aren't a lot of guys in the league that can do that.
No. One a year does it. Carlson.
Well, Burns is going to do it this year. And, you know, you look at the guys, like the great players. Okay, 65 might be a reach, but 50-plus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 50-plus. Okay?
Well, yeah.
And he's a guy that I think his career high is, what, around 40, 41 points?
I think it's less.
So even with the flashes, and last night he had three assists, there are times where you watch him, and you think, this guy can get in the play. He's got a skill set. He's got hands. He should be dynamic in one way or the other, either offensively, like truly top 10 defenseman, or because of his skating abilities, maybe not top 10, but upper echelon defensive defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure he's going to hit with either. So if you don't hit in either category, there's a limitation in terms of how great you can be. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, how many plays a game does he make where he is creating offense? Not that many.
He's not necessarily a guy that leads the rush. He can get up and support the rush.
Is he seeing the play before it happens offensively?
I mean, last night I guess he did, right? They had a 4-on-2, and I think he
made
read
a
that
nice
properly.
Play to Matthews.
He's got that ability. He just doesn't do it consistently. And it's no different than Freddie Anderson. We talk about him all the time. Can he be a true number one? Well, you got to do it over the course of a year. Morgan Riley, to be a true number one, you can't come and go. You got to be a stud like 85, 90% of the time.
And it's almost like he's taken his assignment to heart where it's like, I really got to be on when the other team's best line is on. But that's the difference between the elite guys like a Niedermeyer. He'd play against the best lines too. But you know what he also did? He'd be driving the offense. He'd be lugging the puck up. He'd be quarterbacking the power play. I mean, those elite guys, they do it all. They play 30 a night, and they make it look easy. And that's their job every night. They know they're going out there for half the game.
Well, and didn't we – and this is not a fair comparison.
Pronger didn't play 30 minutes. He was pissed off.
Right.
So all of them.
And by the fourth year of his career, he was playing 30 minutes.
Yeah, Ryan Suter talks about it a lot. He's like, if I'm not playing 30, I'm not into it. That's what they do, and that's why they get paid.
Well,
like
and
that.
So he's averaging 22 a game.
Yeah, that's.
I'd play him more for sure. Now I don't know if that'll happen because of the injury, but the more you can take away from that third pairing, the better.
Yeah, well, like you know, we saw. You know what would really let him play more in a game? If he had a top end guy to play with. Because Zaitsev's a good player, like I talked about. They're just good. They're good players. But if you put him out there with a guy that's in his prime that can carry the mail and do all the little things, it's amazing how much easier the game is. Like Nick Lidstrom, he made his defense partner's job out there so easy because he had to puck the whole night, and he was one of the rare players, period, who controlled the whole pace of the game as a defenseman. Just so positionally sound, like the stick position and his reading the play and his ability to pass and get it out of trouble. If you have somebody like that, and Nick Lidstrom's another case where it's off the charts, you're never finding that. Other than Bobby Orr, he's probably one of the best defensemen that's ever played the game, without question. So you get Morgan Riley a stud to play with, maybe you can play 25, 30 minutes a night.
But I don't think that's going to happen. You're not going to find that guy. So,
but then do we also have to factor in the age? Like, I'm looking at Duncan Keith when he became, like, elite. It was season 5 where he, like, clearly takes a leap. That's when they win the cup.
Mm-hmm.
He's 25 years old. Like, do we have to remember that I think he's in his fourth season. He's 22, 23. Like, look at other guys. Look at Victor Hedman. How long did it take before we said this guy is a number one defenseman? For a while, people were like, bust. Not happening. You know what I mean? Like,
Riley will be granted that. Well, he won't be because of the situation he's been thrown into. He is the number one by default, regardless of how he's going to play. And now he's on a playoff team with 31 games left. Mm-hmm. So no one's going to say, hey, we'll give him that night off over the next 2.5 months. That's not going to happen because of the pressure that's going to come with this playoff run. But, yeah, he's going to be afforded growth. And I think you should expect growth. And this is ultimately a projection. And sometimes players can throw you off, but generally – that is the exception to the rule. Generally, the exception to the rule is the guy who out of nowhere at 24 takes off. When you're truly elite, like Doughty, like Carlson.
That.
But that's what you're asking, though. You're asking, what can he be? And I'm telling you, if you don't, then there's your answer. If you don't think he can get into the same category as Doughty, Keith, Weber, Hedman, Burns. Like, Burns is a guy, he started as a winger. You know, and eventually
developed. And it was late 20s before he moved over. And
right, but again, I think that's the exception to the rule in a lot of ways.
I think he might have been 24, 25.
But I think he's a very good player,
yeah,
even with what he is right now.
But
would
the
you sign
is,
off on this Morgan Riley for the rest of his career? I think you would.
For sure, but not if you can't get that other guy.
But that's not his problem.
Fault.
That's not on him. That's on management to try to figure that out. Right?
But you would sign off on him plateauing right where he is right now, not getting a day better?
I think so at the price he's at.
I think he's saying, like, if he's not going to get into that, like, upper echelon, like, he's not going to be Doughty or Keith, but he's going to be, like, a notch below.
Oh, yeah.
Would you be happy with this for the next 5 years?
Well, he's got to get better than what he is, but right now it doesn't look like he's going to be one of those guys. So you're going to have to sign off on it.
Right, but he's still a very good player.
Oh, no question.
And that's the point. It's not like you're...
But I had those other expectations where I talked about Duncan Keith, and I'm like, maybe this guy can be that.
Right.
And I don't know if he can.
I don't know if he can either. I don't project that.
It's not a major disappointment if he ultimately doesn't become that.
That's right.
Because we're talking about one of the best 100 players in the world.
And they signed him. He's getting paid $5 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
$5 million for a very good defenseman is very good value.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're not paying him $10 million a year to be a very good defenseman.
Can you win a cup without that guy? And can you be a cup contender every year without that guy?
History tells you probably not. History tells you need a Char in his prime, a Lidstrom in his prime, a Niedermeyer, a Pronger. I mean, that's what...
But we've talked about this for the number one centerman. They don't fall around. The teams don't trade them. You're not going to find one.
Well, and that's why they had to bottom out and win the lottery.
Yeah.
And Matthews, I thought he played really well again last night. And I thought Mitch Marner was spectacular. This kid, like, we talked about the rookie wall last week and the idea of it being in existence and is it happening here. Mitch Marner is getting better as the season is going on. He was the best player on the ice last night by a country mile.
He was awesome last night.
He was unbelievable last night. And quite frankly, I think he's been their best player since the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
That's not saying a lot because they haven't really played that well as a team. But night in, night out, Mitch Marner is bringing something to this team. Like, he has hit a point now where someone sent me a tweet this morning, and it was something that I had not thought of before, asking me, do I see him on Team Canada in the future? And the way it's trending, yeah. In 2022, I see him on Team Canada.
Oh, no doubt.
I see him, like, on McDavid's wing in China. Like, that's where it's going, man. That's how good this kid is right now.
No question. He's that good. He was awesome last night. The spinorama moves, the protecting the puck.
What other young wingers in the league? Like, Laine clearly would be up there. I mean, we're doing this on the fly, so you got to be careful because we might overlook some players.
We're not doing would you trade Laine for Marner.
No. What I'm saying is how many other young wingers in the league, like 20 or under, are doing what he's doing?
Okay, so you know where he ranks among Canadian players in scoring this year? Ninth. right behind Jamie Benn and right ahead of John Tavares.
Do you think he's got a shot at the team next year?
It's not ludicrous to suggest.
If they go to South Korea, what's the Jerry's percentage as Mitch Marner's one of the 14 forwards?
I'm going to go 65%.
Really? See, I jumped to 2022. I wasn't even thinking about next year.
I think he could make that team.
Okay, so there's eight wingers. So Marchand, is he on the team?
The way he's going, he would be on.
The way he played in the World Cup, he's a slam dunk.
Okay, Seguin, two. Jeff Carter, three. Mm-hmm. Jamie Benn, four.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who else? Wayne Simmons?
I mean,
they usually name that team around what? December? Or the Olympic team?
Yeah.
Or what do they do next summer? Who the hell even knows if they're going?
They don't even know if they're going yet.
But
it'll be around Christmas time.
Lights out at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
He might be one of those guys.
Because you know Matthews is playing for the Americans, clearly.
No doubt.
That's an absolute lock.
They're going to be good.
The Americans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they could be.
There we go.
They won't be Canada good.
That's what they say every time. Americans are going to be good.
I know. People overthink it all the time.
Then Howard takes over and destroys them, and they're just useless.
That is an interesting poll question. Now, it's dangerous to throw it out there because Leaf fans...
We do that too much.
Okay.
Let's just deal with some facts today.
Well, but...
I don't know. Looking at these Canadian wingers, he's going to be right in the mix. Let's say there's a choice between... Like, Claude Giroux didn't play, basically.
Healthy Stamkos will be a winger.
Yeah. Okay, that's five.
Depending on who they have up the middle, Tavares played the wing... World Cup.
So he'll be there. That's six.
But will he play center? I don't know. And I'm sure there are other guys we're missing.
Yeah, but some guys are going to fall off. Like, is Corey Perry going to be on the team? Who knows?
He wasn't on the World Cup team.
Right. Logan Couture was on the team. Injury replacement.
Right.
I don't know.
Matt Duchene.
Anyway, the point is, like, the potential for him is higher than maybe... No, not maybe. Than people thought at the beginning of the year. His upside is really high.
Right.
That's apparent.
Well, listen, I'll say this about the Leafs. I mean, this kind of feels like a negative Tuesday, but they still picked up a point. They ended up going 1-2-2, I believe, on this road trip. Listen, they're a team that is thoroughly entertaining. They are as fun to watch. They're a high-wire act every single night. And when you consider where we were this time last year, that was the most boring team I've ever witnessed in my life.
I know, but don't be satisfied. Like, if they could just clamp down. At the end of the day, maybe the defense, I've said at the beginning, it's just not good enough. Like, you can talk about positioning or giving up. They're not good enough
but
back there.
It's not going to change between now and the end of the year.
No
kidding.
That's
the thing. Babcock's like, well, we need to practice more. Mike, it doesn't matter if you practice for the next 15 days straight.
Yeah, for 12 hours every day.
You are not good enough.
No.
You are simply not good enough.
Look,
so you have to outscore your
when
problems.
You're playing defense in the National Hockey League, Brian, if you're soft, you've got to be smart. And if you're stupid, you've got to be physical. You can't be both on the negative.
Well, that's Martin Marincin in a nutshell.
If you're soft and stupid, you're going to have problems.
Right.
If you're soft, you got to be smart as hell. Nick Lidstrom never hit a guy, ever. Do you know why? He didn't have to. Anticipation, smarts, hockey sense.
He had the puck the whole time.
I was watching a playoff series, a tough one. Nick Lidstrom, you know how many hits he registered? Zero in the series.
Well, I know
still
that.
The best player on the ice
every
night.
I understand. You're preaching the choir,
so
man.
So if you're physical, like if you're soft, you better be smart as hell.
But that's what I'm
saying.
And
if you're stupid, you better crush guys. Cross-check them in the back.
But that's not going to happen.
If it's the double negative on D...
But that's why they have to outscore their deficiencies. Freddie Anderson has got to be like a top 10 goaltender, and they have to continue this offensive onslaught for the final 31 games. Now, they're not going to give up six a night. Like, that's going to come back to reality. Tonight has the ability to be an absolute circus of a game because Dallas is just as bad defensively. The Leafs are coming off a long road trip. It's back-to-back. McElhinney's in net tonight. The Stars' goaltending is atrocious. It doesn't even matter who's playing. This could be 8-7 tonight. Who knows? But at some point, the defense is going to circle back to an extent. But it's never going to be even mediocre. I mean, they're just not mediocre this year. This current rendition of the top six or top seven is not going to get there. So what they have to do is be a high-wire act. And I think Babcock has to understand that. Like, post-game, I know he doesn't like that.
He will never tolerate it. He'll never put up with it. His philosophy on NHL games, it's usually a 2-1 or a 3-2 game.
But how are you going to get in? If you want to get in, you're going to have to win some games, 5-4, 6-5, because this team is going to give up a boatload of goals. It's incredibly frustrating. But remember, people people would pounce on Carlisle all the time, and a lot of it was deserved. But I do think he looked at his team and said, we're not that good. The only way we're winning is if Phil, JVR, Bozak play 23 minutes tonight and find a way to generate 8 points combined.
You think that was on purpose?
I do. I do. I think maybe. Now it was because he dressed a fourth line that couldn't play. That was his own fault. He couldn't balance it out. But they weren't a very good team. I think Randy knew you had to try to win 4-3 or 5-4.
I don't know. You look at some of the numbers in Anaheim, and they are still really good. But all the underlying stuff looks exactly like it did here. Anyway, the point is, I don't know. I guess I look at this team, and I think they're going to be like this because they're in the first stage. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We saw, remember at the Winter Classic? Is it the Winter Classic? The Centennial Classic? Like, after the game, Babcock said, like, I went out of my way to dress the young players in that situation because I want them to learn. And I think that tells you the way he's looking at this season is progression. Try to, like, continue to build an infrastructure toward a team that's actually going to be winning. And to win, you have to be good defensively. You know what I mean?
That's right. But that's going to take time.
That takes time.
And
that,
so, do you cut corners to get in?
No, he won't. You think he should?
I don't think he will, necessarily. I think he just has to accept that's going to be a reality.
You can't accept it. That's the point. Like, you have to keep driving home that you're not going to be able to win long-term.
Okay, but this is the dichotomy. Do you potentially give away points by pushing for it and say, you know what, that learning experience is going to pay off long-term? Or do you say the learning experience of actually being in a playoff spot is even more valuable than that? Because I think that's what they're dealing with right now. They're not going to turn into a 2-1 winning team. It's not happening between now and the end of the year. If they get in, they're going to have to win games 4-3, 5-4. That's who they are right now. And Babcock can love it or hate it. Quite frankly, his mentality on it is irrelevant because of the personnel that they have. And I understand his complaints about practicing, but that's not going to change either. No. They play 31 times in like 60 nights. They're not going to practice again all year.
Well, how many teams are getting to practice anyway?
Nobody is.
Yeah.
Big news out of Boston today, both from the Bruins standpoint and from the Patriots standpoint. You see that parade going down in Boston and Gronkowski?
They were all gooned. Crafty was gooned.
Crafty had himself an afternoon, as he should. I mean, he's the owner of the team, I guess.
Billy Bells was gooned, too.
So we'll break down some of the details from the parade, what happened with Claude Julien. Raptors with a big win last night. LeBron is going after another member of the media. Take it or leave it trivia later in the hour. Special guest Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press is in here. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Ryan tweeting and asking, probably the dumbest question to be posed. If Tom Brady was single, would his bar play be legendary?
Don't forget, folks, the bar play bracket is coming up in a month or so.
Right. March Madness bar play bracket, year
and
two.
We are going to do an extensive bracket this year.
Brady's bar play in Boston.
Hang on a sec. Who's the reigning champ? Dougie 93?
No, I think it was DiCaprio after Titanic came out.
No. Dougie won it all, buddy.
Maybe it was Dougie in 93. I don't know. I know it was a really close
Dougie took
race.
Down monsters. He took down Joey Bats after the bat flip. He took down DiCaprio. He killed them all.
I don't know, man. I have a feeling DiCaprio. Like, how do you beat DiCaprio after Titanic came out? Imagine being in a bar trying to get the wheels in motion, and DiCaprio walks in as Jack Dawson from Titanic. You're toast. You had no shot ever in a million years.
What about DiCaprio after the Oscar?
Well, that would be pretty much DiCaprio, period, at any point in life. But Titanic.
Jack on the front of the boat with his arms in the air. That's like the Leaf Defenders right now.
You're right, man. Freddie Anderson is Rose. And they don't know how to stop
They're
anything.
They're hugging each other in front.
They're hugging each other and praying they survive.
I'm the king of the world. What does he say?
That's exactly what he says.
Is it?
Yeah.
He's loving life on that boat. Until that chick just dumps his ass on that piece of wood.
Yeah, she Jack. Made sure she was real comfortable on that piece of wood.
Like
why couldn't they
throw
both
the guy
be on
a bone,
there?
Yeah. Get on the wood with me, Jack.
Yeah, why couldn't they snuggle on the piece of wood? What's your take on
Didn't
that, Jonas?
Didn't he go get the blue thing? Isn't that part of it?
The blue pill?
No, the blue jewel or something.
The blue
How many times
pill
did you see
in 1912.
That movie? Were you one of those people that saw the movie like three, four?
No, I saw it in the theaters once.
Can you imagine how horny Jack would be running around that boat with a blue pill in 1920? He would have been a machine.
That guy would have been locked up quickly.
Oh, God.
Quickly. Anyway, we got to get into what happened down in Boston with the parade today, and Gronkowski in particular stole the show. Didn't even take a snap in the Super Bowl, yet he is the guy. He's the face of the parade. And Claude Julien out in Boston. Was it a bit greasy by the Bruins to fire him on the day of the parade? We'll touch on that in 2 minutes. It was a big news day down in Boston. The New England Patriots had their fifth Super Bowl parade of the past 15 years. All those little kids, those punk kids with the signs that they've been to 15 championship parades and they're 15 years old.
I'm only 9 years old and every year I've seen a parade.
I hate
Go
those
to
kids.
Hell.
I really don't like those kids.
Yeah.
Like, it's not funny, you're not cool. Like, don't even pay attention to it.
You sound a little jealous to me.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's all
envy. If it
was
you, you'd be doing the same thing. If you lived in Boston your whole life and you had seen a million championships, you would love your life.
Well, of course. I mean, that would be
the
ultimate goal as a fan.
Here.
I have nothing.
Right.
I have nothing. I have no parades.
Literally.
I have nothing.
You don't even have an appearance.
I don't even really have banners. Like, some teams have won the division, and that's about it.
Well, the Raps have won a couple Atlantics. Jays have won.
Jays won an AL East.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
But that's about it, man.
Got to the ALCS twice.
You don't get a parade for that. But Rob Gronkowski did not even take a snap at the Super Bowl, and he had his shirt off throughout the parade, and people were throwing beers at him, and he was doing the full Stone Cold Steve Austin routine. And I guess you got to give him credit, man. He's consistent with that whole persona, and the guy's got a blown-out knee, and he's up there chugging beers at like 12:30 in the afternoon. On national TV.
Calling them to fans.
What do you think his post-career looks like?
He'll get an analyst job.
I don't know if he's smart enough.
Like, you think he's dumb?
I don't think he's a smart guy. I'm not trying to be a clown or disrespectful.
But you know what it's like. You put him beside the nerd, and like Jonas. Jonas and Gronk. Like, that's what you go. You know what I mean? You get the guy with the smarts and the brains.
So you're programming it like Jonas versus Gronk? Like, is it kind of them going
at
each other?
No, I think he's saying it kind of balances out, maybe? Yeah.
You get a guy like
knows.
Jonas.
Okay.
And then you put Gronk with him, and then you got a show.
I don't know, man. I think he'd get it. I could see a reality show, you know, surrounding Gronk. But I don't know how long that can go on for. I don't know how much money you can make off that. But, listen, they had a blast on there. They should. They're Super Bowl champs, Boston. It's all steeped in envy. That's exactly where I'm coming at. They are the sports capital of the world, of North America. All they do is win. And this year, the Red Sox, everyone expects them to get back to a World Series or get close. The Celtics are moving up. They're second in the East. The Bruins are the ones that are now tailing everybody else, and they made news today. They fired Claude Julien, and I know a lot of media types down there, and the fans don't care about the media types, but they're rattled that this is kind of the big news at 5 p.m. on a Friday routine. And make no mistake, this is not a coincidence. The Bruins looked at this situation and said, if we fire Julien right now, no one's even going to pay attention because everyone is still...
Wouldn't Monday have been better for that, the day after?
Today's the parade, though. They had the press conference during the parade. Like, my understanding is just from reading some of the transcripts and seeing it on Twitter, there were, like, media members that were legitimately furious that it was happening at that time. Now, that's their job, so whatever. Again, no one's going to lose sleep over the media guy who's got to go down there. But, like,
you
taking
think that
runs
was done
out,
by design?
100% it was.
Because it was like, no one's going to make that much of a deal of this.
And I think it's disrespectful, quite frankly.
Yeah.
It's very disrespectful of a coach. Julian's not going to really care because he got fired. He doesn't care about what the Bruins do from here on out. But he was there for 10 years. He won you a Stanley Cup, and you pull the, hey, sweep it under the rug when no one takes notice of it all routine. I think
Julian
that's kind of
doesn't care when he gets fired, Brian.
I'm not saying he does, but I think he deserves the recognition. I think it's almost
wait a second. Wait.
You don't get any recognition when you get fired.
Absolutely.
You're fired.
You do if you win a cup and you were a great coach.
See, but the recognition you get is when the owner has a little thing. We want to thank Claude for his time here. There's your recognition.
That's not
the
true.
The timing of it has nothing to do with Claude Julien's recognition.
This is not Dallas Aikens.
They wanted to fire him.
This isn't Dallas Aikens that's getting fired after a year and a half. This is arguably their greatest coach of all time.
I know, but he's getting fired. There's no glorious ending to it. You're fired.
But then you don't think this was... This was done on purpose.
Hey, but when do you
this
want
was
to...
done on purpose because it was just quiet and the parade was going on.
Exactly.
And maybe the heat on the Boston Bruins. But as far as acknowledging Claude Julien, you're firing the guy.
I'm not saying the team's acknowledging him, but I'm saying you're taking every fan you have is distracted. Every fan, media guy
you know
who would write
when you
something
own a team and you want to fire a guy, unfortunately, you're not going to look around the surroundings and say, I got to wait till tomorrow because there's a parade going on.
That's exactly why they did it.
But
that's
sorry,
exactly
Hayes,
why they did it.
Your timeline doesn't work. They play on Saturday, they lose. Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, so you're not doing it then. We talked about maybe they could do it Monday, but that's also going to be, well, you're burying it in a Super Bowl Monday aftermath.
If the Raps won the World Championship and you got fired, and they're going on a parade and you got fired, would you get in your car and be like, I can't believe they fired me during the Raps parade?
Not me, but if I was the Leaf head coach that won a Stanley Cup and was one of the all-time greats, I'd probably think, interesting
timing. So
when should
they have done this?
Take your time. Either do it later in the week.
Do it Sunday?
Do it tomorrow. Do they play tonight?
No,
they don't play until Thursday.
Exactly. So you couldn't do it tomorrow?
Oh, it's just...
That's
what's the difference?
Too. Come on.
Why is that gutless?
Well, if you've decided you're going to fire him, you're just going to keep hanging around?
They hung around. They played on Saturday. They could have fired him Saturday night. They waited until, what, Tuesday morning?
You would say that's burying it, too.
Okay, we'll get back into this. We got to get out of here. We'll do this at 5.
You're fired. There's no recognition to being fired.
You guys actually don't think that this was timed perfectly for them? You don't think that they held
schedule, I'm not sure.
Come on, Jonas, stop. All right, we'll continue this at 5
p.m. It's like whatever he thinks, we're dummies for disagreeing with him.
No, I think you're wrong. You're fake news.
You're wrong.
You guys are fake news.
Give me a Trump wrong. No, he's not even ready for it.
He's not. Anyway. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
Take it or leave it trivia with the O-Dog.
All right, we got Mike up in Barrie joining us this afternoon. And, Mike, you know the way this rolls, right, buddy? You know how to play.
Mike, do you know what you're doing here? You get 3 questions. You got to get one right, and then you're going to have the opportunity to keep the cash or let it ride into Friday, which is the big day, the big vacation option. You got that?
I do.
All right, first question. Who is the new coach of the Boston Bruins?
The new coach of the Boston Bruins. Oh, my God. No, pass.
Wrong.
There's no passing. You should have said Bill Belichick just to throw something out there.
All right, man, you got to come through here in the second one. That was a bit of an effort that was lacking there. How many points did John Tavares have in the Islanders' 6-5 overtime win over the Leafs?
Oh, he had 4.
He had 0.
Wrong.
It's 0.
At least he came with conviction. I'll give Mike some credit there.
How about that? Oh, he had 4.
Like, he almost convinced me. I'm like, maybe we got the answer wrong.
Yeah. Dude,
which game were you talking about? Like, the last time the Leafs played? Or
no,
last night,
Mike. Last he had 0 night. Points, buddy. Nothing.
Well, you got to be a little more specific. I'm sorry.
Okay. In 2013, how many points did Tavares have? Anyway, moving on. Final question. Yeah,
Final question.
Mike.
You got to come through here, pal. How many of the Leafs rookies are in the top 20 in rookie scoring? Leaf rookies that are in the top 20, how many of them in rookie scoring?
4.
Get out of
Wrong.
Here, Mike. Take a lap, pal.
I got the hat trick.
That is the first bagel we've had
sombrero.
Yet. First bagel, Mike.
The answer is 6. Marner, I'd Matthews, like to... Nylander, Brown, Hyman, Zaitsev.
Wow. I'd like to leave it and go for the trip.
Okay.
Dude, you got nothing to leave.
Such an idiot here.
You can Hang take a trip to the Molson Center. That's about it, Mike.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. Right, thanks for playing, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There's Mike up in Barrie. That's
Fire
the first time no one's had anything.
Tickets or something.
I don't know. That's too bad. I didn't know Zaitsev was in the top 20.
Hey, let's get Craig in here and ask him about your little thought there about the recognition when you fire. He's fired a coach before.
Okay. Well, Craig's probably got bigger and better things
to
do.
He can give us 2 minutes. He likes us that much.
Well, we got a break, so if he can stick around until 5.
No, he probably can't.
Okay, well, maybe we'll see if Craig can stick around. If not, we got Ray coming up.
And we're not going to tell him what we're talking about. We're going to just bring it in cold.
Right.
So don't say a word.
I won't say a word. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.